Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Hey, welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you by Myers & Associates, serving the Midwest with industrial maintenance products and services. Call them at 515-795-3676. Myers & Associates, keeping your operations running. Hey, this is Shane Vanderhart. And next to me, I got Brian Myers, who evidently doesn't want to introduce himself because he just likes looks at me when I
say my name. I'm expecting you to say this is Shane Vanderhart and Brian Myers.
I always give him the opportunity to introduce himself, but he never takes it.
You can
anyway,
just...
welcome back to another week. It's debate time. Brian and I got to spend some bonding time together, kind of live
bonding time, live
tweeting the debate from the Iowa Beef Steakhouse.
Hey, we had a great time too.
I used to work like not even a quarter. Gosh, okay, over on Hull Avenue, not too far from there, and that was the first time I've ever been in there.
You're kidding?
No, first time.
That place is a national institution. A national treasure.
Yeah.
Iowa Beef Steakhouse. I got buddies in Rhode Island that every time they come out here, they're like, hey, can we go to Iowa Beef?
Okay. All right. And I'm ashamed to say that I ordered a hamburger. I didn't order a steak.
Yeah. You know,
I figured it was going to be easier to eat while I was tweeting, too.
Well, whatever. I still call a man card, man law violation. It's not enough.
Next time I go, I'll have
it's steak. Not enough. That I'm going to take your card away from you, but you did definitely violate the man rule.
Were you ever in Boy Scouts?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, do you remember the totem chip card? Do they have that when you were in Boy Scouts?
Oh, I forgot about those, yeah.
You're tearing a corner off, yeah?
Totem chip card. Oh, dear. No, we had a great time, but yeah. You know, it was my treat. I figured, you know, my treat, we're at Iowa Beef Steakhouse, and you just having a hamburger just seemed to be wrong. Oh, man. We had a great time tweeting the event, and we're going to get into that here in a minute. There was a lot of good moments at that event. But something else happened last week.
Yeah.
I had a conversation with one Mr. Sam Clovis.
Ah.
I had a good time visiting with Sam.
Tell the Donald hi?
No, I didn't say that. But he said a couple of interesting things. And one of the things that he said, and I hope Sam doesn't mind me saying this on the air, but Sam said that he took some heat.
Yeah.
You know, when
he went over to the Trump campaign.
When he went to the Trump campaign after... You know, things kind of shut down in the Perry campaign. And he said he really appreciated the fact that you didn't throw it. Not only did you not throw him under the bus, he just really appreciated that piece you wrote about Sam's transition. And, you know, anyway, he really appreciated that. And so I'm going to tell you that over the air here. I haven't told you this up until now.
No, you haven't.
I wanted you to know Sam really appreciated it.
Yeah, I don't like throwing campaign staff under the bus, especially friends. And he had his reasons for making the switch that he did.
And Sam's a friend of the show.
Yes, he is.
Sam's a good guy. And you know something? We've talked about this before. If Mr. Trump would happen to go the distance, who would we rather have giving policy advice to Mr. Trump than Sam Clovis?
Absolutely.
I mean, I just think about that for a minute.
I want him surrounded by people like Sam.
Right. That's one of the things that Trump said in the debate the other night. And he said this before, he's going to have, you know, a team of guys, the top drawer team of guys. Now, Sam's one of those guys.
Will he listen to them, though?
That's the burning question for Sam.
Yeah. Will he listen? Oh, well, anyway, hopefully, if you didn't get a chance to watch the debate, you know, you can find it online. I encourage you to watch it. Stepping back from it now a couple days later, while it was going on, I thought, oh, this is much better than the Fox debate. I still think it was better than the Fox debate. But it still wasn't a great debate. There's still a lot of questions asked that were totally irrelevant, like, do we really need to get the candidate's opinion on who goes on the $10 bill? You know, no. Do we need to know their Secret Service code name? No. They didn't even touch about, they didn't say anything about Obamacare. No questions on health care reform, no questions on entitlement reform, no questions about education policy. So, you know,
Shane, you know my
a lot of foreign policy, which was good.
Yeah,
that aspect was good.
But you know my opinion on these debates anyway. I'm not a big fan of them. I enjoy them, but for me personally, I look at these things as events that unfortunately influence people over the most silly stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, who had the best zinger? Who
right.
had the best one-liner? I wrote a piece in Caffeinated Thoughts a couple of years ago about my thoughts on how pathetic the process of determining a winner in a debate is. I'm always disappointed at these events in that respect. But I still thought there were some good moments in it, and I thought there were some things that we did learn.
Yeah, and I actually appreciate it. It seemed like in a lot of ways it was actual debate because they actually allowed the candidates to go back and forth. Where it's like Fox News, like, oh no, you know, we'll try to bait you, or we'd rather have you interchange with the interviewers rather than each other. And I'd rather the candidates go at each other. I think you saw more of that in the kids table debate than you did in the prime time.
Kids table
debate. That's the nickname. The second tier debate. I don't think second tier is really all that much more positive either. Just because there were four candidates rather than 11 on stage. But anyway, I want to play at least two of the clips so we got time. These are longer clips, so just bear with us. But the first one was an interchange between Louisiana Governor Bobby Jindal and U.S. Senator Lindsey Graham discussing the government shutdown, and especially notice at the end of the clip what Jindal says, I think is pretty interesting.
Buster, to stop Iran from becoming a nuclear power, now is the time for the Senate Republicans to stand up and fight. We are tired of the establishment saying there's nothing we can do. All night tonight, we've heard Republicans say things like, well, the Supreme Court's ruled, there's nothing I can do about religious liberty. You know, the president did this, there's nothing we can do about it for two more years. There is something we can do. We won the Senate. We won the House. What was the point of winning those chambers if we're not going to do anything with them? You're going back tonight. You still have time before the Thursday deadline. Will y'all use the nuclear option to stop Iran from becoming a nuclear power?
Bobby, you are in the Congress. And all I can tell you to everybody here, if you want to repeal Obamacare, get a new president. If you want to defund Planned Parenthood, elect a pro-life president, because that's the only way. If we passed the Cardin bill, Graham-Menendez, it would go to the president. He would veto it. 67 votes are required to override the veto.
Well, and Lindsey,
wait a minute. Now, you asked me a question. So I don't want to take off the table the ability to slow down Obama in his last 13 or 14 months, because I want 60 votes to stop what I think he's going to do between now and January 2017. Five Republicans deflect, leave, we're in trouble. So, folks, the world really is the way it is. President Obama is president. The goal is to get him out of there and pick somebody who would actually do something to repeal Obamacare, who would get you a better agreement. So, Bobby, he would veto the bill. We don't have 67 votes, and you had given away a defense against Obama for the rest of his presidency. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to tell you things I can't do. I'm not going to tell you by shutting the government down, we're going to defund Obamacare as long as he's president. All that does is hurt us. I'm trying to lead this party to winning.
Lindsey, well, that's my frustration. Listen to what you heard. You basically heard a Senate Republican say, we can't defund Planned Parenthood despite these barbaric videos.
Are you going to shut the government down?
We can't get rid of Obamacare. Lindsey, let me answer this question now. I wish the Senate Republicans had half the fight in them the Senate Democrats did. Look, President Obama didn't give up on Obamacare when they lost the Senate election in Massachusetts. I want my side to follow the Constitution. They broke the Constitution. They broke the law. But they forced Obamacare down our throats even when they didn't have 60 votes. I wish Republicans in D.C. had half the fight of the Senate Democrats to get rid of Obamacare, to defund Planned Parenthood. If we can't defund Planned Parenthood now, if we can't stand for innocent human life after these barbaric videos, it is time to be done with the Republican Party. We defunded them in Louisiana. Let's defund them in D.C. If we can't win on that issue, there is no point for being cheaper Democrats, no point for having a second liberal party. It is time to get rid of the Republican Party, start over with a new one that's at least conservative. Give Harry Reid and Pelosi credit. At least they fight for what they believe in. I want senators and House members in D.C. to fight for what we believe in as well. It's time to have Republicans with a backbone in D.C.
Cheap Democrats. Yeah.
So ooh, Bobby was on fire there.
Right. And you know, I initially said in my piece following the debate that I thought it was it was probably a tie between Jindal and Santorum. But, you know, those comments, and I think Santorum did very well. He had a couple moments that I didn't think were so great. But Jindal definitely, okay, anti-establishment candidate. Anybody else saying that? Do you hear any other candidate saying, you know, if well, we're not going to do these things, we might as well tank the Republican Party?
Yeah. Be done with the Republican Party. That's what he said. Nobody talks like that.
No.
That was a real eye-opener.
Definitely. So I think he is spot on. Make President Obama veto these things.
That's right. That's right.
So what? You can't. Obviously, yes, we know the Senate can't make him sign it. And we know there are not enough votes to override. But put the pressure on him.
Yep.
For crying out loud, fight a little bit. This is ridiculous. So,
how many times did Wilberforce bring legislation to the British government about slavery? I mean, it took, was it a couple of decades before he finally got it done?
Oh, I'm not going to do it because it's not going to pass.
We don't have enough votes.
Oh, no, you keep bringing it.
You keep fighting.
So, kudos to Governor Jindal for those remarks. That was probably the best exchange during that debate. We have time for the next clip. By the way, you're listening to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, and we're talking about the kids' table debate this segment.
Oh,
so
that's brutal.
I know.
That's brutal, buddy.
Santorum v. Pataki. Let's go ahead and play that.
16 years ago, this country was tremendously inspired by a young woman who faced a gunman in Columbine and was challenged about her faith, and she refused to deny God. We saw her as a hero. Today, someone who refuses to defy a judge's unconstitutional verdict is ridiculed and criticized, chastised, because she's standing up and not denying her God and her faith. That is a huge difference in 16 years. People have a fundamental right in the First Amendment. There's no more important right. It is the right that is the trunk that all other rights come from, and that's the freedom of conscience. And when we say in America that we have no room, well, how many bakers, how many florists, how many pastors, how many clerks are we going to throw in jail? Because they stand up and say, I cannot violate what my faith says is against its teachings. Is there not room in America? I believe there has to be room. First, I believe we have to pass the First Amendment Defense Act, which provides that room for government officials and others who do not want to be complicit in what they believe is against their faith. Second, we need as a president who's going to fight a court that is abusive, that has superseded their authority. Judicial supremacy is not in the Constitution, and we need a president and a Congress to stand up to a court when it exceeds its constitutional authority.
Thank you, Senator. Amen. Governor Pataki, your response.
And my response is kind of wow. You know, we're going to have a president who defies the Supreme Court because they don't agree.
If they're wrong,
You don't have the rule of law.
I just want to jump in here for a second. We probably don't even need to play the rest of this. Pataki's comment right there
tells it all, doesn't it?
Absolutely. He is absolutely, absolutely 100% unqualified to be president of the United States if he is not willing to stand up to the judicial branch of the government. He just basically admitted, oh yeah, they should have the last word. Where in the Constitution does it say that? It doesn't. And it's just, you know, what he should have been saying instead of, wow, wow, Senator Santorum, you're right.
Well, look, it begs the question, how off the rails would the Supreme Court have to be? How far would they have to go before guys like Pataki would say, enough is enough? We can't allow five guys in black robes rule lawlessly over 350 million people.
I'd like to know where that line is. I mean, people who believe in judicial supremacy, or they won't put it in those terms. They'll say, "Oh, yeah, they should." You know, judicial review is the law of the land.
Ugh,
that's an art. I can't stand when people say that. But yeah, I think they need to explain. What would the Supreme Court have to decide before you'd say they're wrong? Can the Supreme Court be Supreme Court decision be unconstitutional? Yeah, absolutely.
We've just seen a couple examples of that.
Unless you think the Dred Scott decision was constitutional, I think we all admit that was a bad decision, right?
Sure.
Yeah. So. Anyway, they need to explain these things. This debate was good. There was a lot of good interchange. I think you got to know the candidates there. Lindsey Graham did on content. No, he didn't. He did horribly, showing that, or at least it was a good eye opener to show conservatives he is not your guy. But also, we got to see who was going to, for instance, stand up for religious liberty.
Right.
And it's definitely not Lindsey Graham
right. Or
George Pataki. So, Jindal and Santorum, great job.
Yeah, can you say establishment?
Yeah, definitely.
Those guys are establishment.
This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Brian Myers of Myers & Associates. If you're involved in maintenance at a manufacturing plant, you know how costly it can be when a machine goes down. And if the reason that machine went down is because the electronic controls on it failed, it can really be problematic if those electronics are obsolete. Well, not to worry. We represent Providence Industrial Electronics Repair, and they can get your machine up and running in no time. They repair boards, drives, servo motors, light curtains, you name it. So if you need industrial electronics repaired at your plant, or if you have other industrial maintenance needs, give me a call at 515-490-2640. That's Myers & Associates, 515-490-2640. Myers & Associates, keeping your operations running.
Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you in part by Travis Griswold of Modern Woodmen of America. Call Travis at 515-883-0029. Again, that's 515-883-0029. And he can help you find the life insurance
you need.
So, continuing on with our debate coverage, we talked about the kids' table debate. Now we're talking about the grown-up.
They're going to hate it that you did that, buddy.
Everybody's been calling it that. We could call it the happy hour debate. There's a lot of different nicknames. I hate second tier. That sounds second tier. That sounds kind of snooty.
Well, we had
second tier.
Listen, we had some of our favorite candidates at the kids' table.
That's right. When I say kids' table debate, that's not a reflection on the candidates there.
Okay.
Just, it wasn't prime time. So I want to make that abundantly clear. I'm not meaning to disparage any of the candidates. Well, Lindsey Graham to disparage. And Pataki. But anyway, I have high regard for Jindal and Santorum. Moving on to prime time, we got some clips here. First off, we had exchange. It's actually clip number 7. I got out of order there. Ron, Trump v. Paul, right off the bat.
First of all, Rand Paul shouldn't even be on this stage. He's number 11. He's got 1% in the polls. And how he got up here, there's far too many people. Anyway, as far as temperament, and we all know that, as far as temperament, I think I have a great temperament. I built a phenomenal business with incredible, iconic assets, one of the really, truly great real estate businesses. And I may be an entertainer because I've had tremendous success with
number one
bestsellers all over the place, with The Apprentice and everything else I've done. But I will tell you this, what I am far and away greater than an entertainer is a businessman. And that's the kind of mindset this country needs to bring it back, because we owe $19 trillion right now, $19 trillion. And you need this kind of thinking to bring our country back. And believe me, my temperament is very good, very calm, but we will be respected outside of this country. We are not respected now.
Mr. Senator Paul, your name has been invoked.
I kind of have to laugh when I think, sounds like a non sequitur. He was asked whether or not he would be capable and it would be in good hands to be in charge of the nuclear weapons. And all of a sudden, there's a sideways attack at me. I think that really goes to really the judgment. Do we want someone with that kind of character, that kind of careless language, to be negotiating with Putin? Do we want someone like that to be negotiating with Iran? I think really there's a sophomoric quality that is entertaining about Mr. Trump. But I am worried. I'm very concerned about him having him in charge of the nuclear weapons, because I think his response, his visceral response to attack people on their appearance, short, tall, fat, ugly. My goodness, that happened in junior high. Are we not way above that? Would we not all be worried to have someone like that in charge of the nuclear arsenal?
Mr. Trump.
I never attacked him on his look, and believe me, there's plenty of subject matter right there.
Okay, I have to... Well, it doesn't have a place in debate. That was a great comeback by Donald Trump.
Oh, my. When he said the other night, I just laughed.
So on one hand, it's a mixed bag. I mean, it was hilarious. But, man, it's sad that took place in a debate, that exchange. This is all I want to say about Donald Trump. So that's the only clip we're going to play. I don't think he said anything substantive.
He didn't hurt himself.
He didn't hurt himself, because the people who love him are going to love him regardless.
Right.
He didn't say anything, nothing nearly as much of a bombshell as what he did the Fox News debate in the exchange with Megyn Kelly. But, yeah, I don't think he won it either.
No,
I think you have to be a Trump supporter to think he actually won
Tapper,
that.
Jake Tapper tried to, you know, set some things up more than once.
Right.
And sometimes they took the bait and sometimes they didn't. It could have been a lot more.
And for the most part, I'm glad most of them didn't, just because I don't think it's going to be the most effective strategy. Just show, we need to continue to show that the emperor has no clothes. We don't have a clip of it, but one of the best exchanges contrast was Trump talking about Russia and Fiorina talking about Russia. And then we'll have a clip on Rubio on Russia. And I can tell you, they're light years apart in quality and knowledge. So anyway, Chris Christie made a surprising comment about defunding Planned Parenthood. Let's go ahead and play that.
No, what I can tell you is this. We didn't surrender in New Jersey 6 years ago, as the brand new first ever pro-life governor of New Jersey since Roe versus Wade. I defunded Planned Parenthood, and I've vetoed Planned Parenthood funding now 8 times in New Jersey. Since the day I walked in as governor, Planned Parenthood has not been funded in New Jersey. We've stood up, and every one of those vetoes has been sustained. But here's the problem. We're fighting with each other up here. We agree. Let's ask Hillary Clinton. She believes in the systematic murder of children in the womb to preserve their body parts, Dana, in a way that maximizes their value for sale for profit. It is disgusting, and the American people need to hear it. We shouldn't be fighting with each other. She's the real opponent.
Governor,
she's the real problem.
Governor, the reality is in just 2 weeks' time, we are going to be facing a question about whether or not it's enough to shut down the government to make that statement, because there's still a Democrat in the White House.
I'd be willing to fight for. Tell you what I'd be willing to fight for. Why have we put tax reform on the president's desk? so we could simplify this tax system.
Yes or no,
no, it's really important, Dana. We got to talk about what we would be willing to shut down for. Why don't we put tax reform on this president's desk and make him veto it if that's what he wants to do? Why haven't we repealed and replaced Obamacare? Make him veto if that's what he wants to do. And why don't we do the same thing with Planned Parenthood? We elected a Republican Congress to do this, and they should be doing it, and they're not, and they're giving the president a pass.
Dana,
now, right there, he's actually saying the same thing that Bobby Jindal said earlier. He really is.
I know. It was surprising.
he kind of called out the Congress and said, hey, what's up with you guys?
The only difference I'd say is Jindal's been saying this all along.
Right.
Christie, you know, seems to be saying this when it looks like the anti-establishment person is in, you know.
Yeah. Well, involved. Look, so, I think you probably saw one of the tweets that I put out there about Christie. I really think he was a sanctimonious boob at one point.
Yeah, I was considering playing that clip, but I decided
okay, no. Okay. Well, anyway, I know he kind of how in the world he managed to get as much time in as he did, I'll never know.
Well, him and John Kasich, neither of them deserved as much time as they got.
Not based on what their poll results.
And Trump's comment about Rand Paul being at 1% is like, what? What poll are you looking at?
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I've not seen him that low. So
anyway, I don't how in the world Christie got as much airtime as he did, I don't know. But
yeah. Well, hey, wait, let's want to play. Ted Cruz made a comment about Planned Parenthood. Yep, clip six.
Well, let me tell you, Dan, number one, I'm proud to stand for life. These Planned Parenthood videos are horrifying. I would encourage every American to watch these videos. See senior Planned Parenthood officials callously, heartlessly bartering and selling the body parts of human beings. And then ask yourself, are these my values? These are horrifying. On these videos, Planned Parenthood also essentially confesses to multiple felonies. It is a felony with 10 years jail term to sell the body parts of unborn children for profit. That's what these videos show Planned Parenthood doing. Absolutely. We shouldn't be sending $500 million of taxpayer money to funding an ongoing criminal enterprise. And I'll tell you, the fact that Republican leadership in both houses has begun this discussion by preemptively surrendering to Barack Obama and saying, we'll give in because Obama threatens a veto. You know, Obama's committed to his principles, his liberal principles. He will fight for them. He says, I will veto any budget that doesn't fund Planned Parenthood, and Republicans surrender. We need to stop surrendering and start standing for our principles.
So that was good. This wasn't the best debate for Cruz, and it's not so much of things he said, even though he seemed a little scripted at times. I thought this
that was very, very well said.
He just was, and he didn't get that much time. Part of that, though, too, is sometimes you need to just kind of barge in there. Some other candidates did that, like Carly Fiorina jumped in. And you need to be, when you got 11 people on stage, you need to be a little aggressive.
Yep.
So kind of like I'm thinking we used to say at the Vanderhart family when I was growing up, the food hit the table, grab, grunt, and growl. That's kind of the same deal with the debate. You got to just go for it, man. Who cares if it wasn't your question? You can answer it, too. Fiorina, you know what? How much time we have? Okay, we're going to pass over the Hillary. I want to play the Fiorina on Planned Parenthood.
Yeah, got to get that.
Anyone who has watched this videotape, I dare Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, to watch these tapes. Watch a fully formed fetus on the table, its heart beating, its legs kicking, while someone says we have to keep it alive to harvest its brain. This is about the character of our nation. And if we will not stand up and force President Obama to veto this bill, shame on us.
Boom.
Boom. And it's too bad you couldn't see that through the radio. She was angry.
Yeah, her face was red.
She was angry. And people are you know, talking about, oh, she didn't quite get her facts right. You know, first of all, I knew exactly which video she was talking about. No, did it actually show the baby? No. Did they talk about it? Yes. So I think she was mostly on with her comments. I especially think
you got to cut her some slack there.
Yeah, shame on us if we can't defund it. These people are not. There's nobody should be entitled to taxpayer money. Period. So this should be a no brainer. Rubio,
Marco Rubio was impressive. I said Carly Fiorina won the debate, but Marco Rubio was a very close second.
He looked good.
So let's play his clip on.
Can we do 10 and 11 back to back?
We got two clips of him we're going to play.
And Trump's. Well, first of all, I have an understanding of exactly what it is Russia and Putin are doing, and it's pretty straightforward. He wants to reposition Russia once again as a geopolitical force. He himself said that the destruction of the Soviet Union, the fall of the Soviet Union, was the greatest geopolitical catastrophe of the 20th century. And now he's trying to reverse that. He's trying to destroy NATO. And this is what this is a part of. He is exploiting a vacuum that this administration has left in the Middle East. Here's what you're going to see in the next few weeks. The Russians will begin to fly combat missions in that region, not just targeting ISIS, but in order to prop up Assad. He will also then turn to other countries in the region and say, America is no longer a reliable ally, Egypt. America is no longer a reliable ally, Saudi Arabia. Begin to rely on us. What he is doing is he is trying to replace us as the single most important power broker in the Middle East. And this president is allowing it. That is what is happening in the Middle East. That's what's
happening. And then clip 11 here on Syria.
Let's talk about we have zero responsibility, because let's remember what the president said. He said the attack that he was going to conduct was going to be a pinprick. Well, the United States military was not built to conduct pinprick attacks. If the United States military is going to be engaged by a commander-in-chief, it should only be engaged in an endeavor to win. And we are not going to authorize use of force if you're not putting men and women in a position where they can win. And quite frankly, people don't trust this president as commander-in-chief because of that.
Boom.
He was good.
Mark, as far as people on foreign policy, top two. Well, Rick Santorum and Marco Rubio, bar none.
And think about this. Rubio is a young senator, and he shows such a breadth of understanding on foreign policy, and he's showing some backbone. I really liked him.
Right, and I remember Fox News debate how he made probably one of the best statements on abortion.
Yes, he did.
So
best of the night.
He's been very impressive, and I think both he and Fiorina are going to see a bump in the polls as a result of this debate.
I agree.
Personally, I believe Trump has plateaued. I don't think he's going to. Famous last words, I know. Honestly, though, I don't see him getting more support than what he already has. Whether he declines or not, I don't necessarily see Fiorina and Rubio pulling support away from him.
No,
I don't think they're the right types of supporters.
I don't think Trump hurt himself the other night.
No,
but I do think that you're going to see Rubio and Carly Fiorina take a big bump.
Yeah. Now, is this an endorsement? No, it's not. And that's why I was telling people, it's like, one thing I learned after my debate comments is that there's some people who, when they support a candidate, are utterly incapable of being objective. You might like Cruz. You may like Huckabee. Huckabee, actually, I thought had a pretty good debate. You might like Rand Paul. They did not win.
Right.
They did not win the debate this week. So anyway, so that was a great debate for Fiorina and Rubio. It'll be interesting to see what the polls do. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Brian Myers. When I needed a better life insurance plan, I found it with Travis Risvold of Modern Woodmen of America. When I first met Travis, he wasn't like some other life insurance agents that can be pushy and try to get you to buy something. Travis just made himself available to me. That was it. He told me to let him know if and when I needed anything, and he stayed in touch. When the day came and I did need to make some changes with my life insurance, Travis met with me and walked me through several options so I could make an informed decision. Ultimately, it was the best decision for my situation. So if you need a better or the best life insurance plan for you, call my friend Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. His number is 515-883-0029. Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. He can help you find the life insurance you need. Call him at 515-883-0029.
Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Hey, welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you in part by Crosswalk Ministries with Scott Owen, who offers biblical counseling and conciliation. Give him a call at 515-292-7141. Again, that's 515-292-7141. Or go to crosswalkcounseling.org. And we got our time for our news rundown.
Okay, our first item this morning. CMC, which is an acronym for Center for Medical Progress, has released another video. The Anti-Abortion Center for Medical Progress has released a new undercover Planned Parenthood video right in the thick of a GOP debate over whether to risk a government shutdown by blocking funding to the healthcare organization. The latest video shows a number of Planned Parenthood officials discussing how issues around the use of fetal tissue could become a public relations problem for the organization. You think?
Yeah.
Like, oh, boy.
Duh.
Surprise.
We're trying to figure this out as an industry about how we're going to manage remuneration, said a woman identified as Deborah Van... Okay. Is that Derhi, you think?
Vanderhi.
A guy with a last name like yours ought to be able to pronounce that.
Yeah.
Deborah Vanderhi.
You're making Dutch people look bad, Deborah.
National Director for the Consortium of Abortion Providers at Planned Parenthood. How would you like to have a title like that? Because the headlines would be a disaster. Oh, you think? Really? If you do decide that you want to engage in remuneration, then you need to, like, think that through. And think New York Times headline when you're creating your policy, she says.
Oh, like New York Times is going to report on it. Please.
Oh, here we go. Eric Ferrero, Vice President for Communications at Planned Parenthood, called the new release, quote, yet another heavily edited video making false claims about Planned Parenthood.
Look.
Unquote.
Sure it is.
Look, you can't... you can't... edit a video in such a way, well, you can, where you're putting words in their mouth, but it would be the you would know it was distorted. You know it's fake. They didn't put the words in the mouths of these people speaking. They edited it for if you look, watch the raw video, you'll see.
They're editing it for length.
For length.
They're not changing
for
the
music,
context.
For music, yeah. It. But you know what? They're putting up the unedited video, so it's not like they're hiding it.
That's right. Well, you know, this continual drumbeat of yet another heavily edited video making false claims. They keep saying it over and over again to an uninformed public who's not watching the videos.
Right.
And somehow or other, this works. You tell a lie long enough, and, you know, certain people are going to believe it to be true.
I had somebody comment this, so I'm just like, unedited video number one, raw video number two, raw video number three, raw video number four, raw video number five. You were saying?
Oh, and I read that Mrs. Clinton was asked specifically, I think by Wolf Blitzer, if I remember right, about had she watched these videos, and she very carefully sidestepped that. She hasn't watched these videos.
No, of course not.
Nobody on the left is watching these videos except maybe their attorneys.
Yeah. Well, let's see how we can sue.
Anyway, and there is a certain segment of the left who, even if they saw every video in detail, it wouldn't matter. They don't care. Their worldview accepts this as entirely acceptable, entirely normative.
Right.
Anyway, okay. And The View, wonderful television program. The View loses sponsors over Joy Behar's stupid remarks.
Wait a minute. Joy Behar made a stupid remark. This is news?
Well, it's news in this particular case.
Okay.
Two sponsors, Johnson & Johnson and Eglin's Best, have dropped their ads from The View following jokes that hosts Joy Behar and Michelle Collins made about the nursing profession. The controversial comments came in response to Sunday's 2016 Miss America pageant, featuring Miss Colorado Kelly Johnson, whose talent consisted of a monologue about being a nurse. The next day, Behar said she did not consider the monologue a legitimate talent
and appeared ill-informed on the nursing profession as a whole. I suspect Ms. Behar is ill-informed about a lot of things. As a whole. Behar and her co-hosts apologized the next day. However, the two companies announced they were dropping their commercials from the ABC talk show after receiving requests from healthcare professionals.
I'm totally oblivious about this news because I don't generally pay much attention to what's going on with The View. Can you remember anything in particular she said?
If I remember right, it had something to do with her. She almost seemed to imply that a nurse wouldn't have a stethoscope. That a stethoscope was something that only a doctor would have.
Oh my!
Because this gal comes walking out, in the blue. What do you call it?
What an idiot!
Scrubs. Yeah, she comes out in the scrubs.
What an idiot! EMTs carry stethoscopes.
It was really something silly. But here's the thing that tickles me is finally some goofball on the left or some goofball television leftist program is taking some heat for saying something stupid and losing sponsorship. Because this always happens to people on the right.
Right.
So it was just really, really delicious to see it happen to Joy Behar and The View.
Now, as far as the monologue being a legitimate talent, that's probably debatable. I haven't seen it. I don't really care about Miss America pageants. I have not watched one.
Sure.
Ever since I was a teenager and into that sort of thing. Not that I was ever into that.
Okay, all right.
This is going to go south quick.
We need to move on.
Too much info.
Okay.
Too much.
Yeah, Captain TMI is over here to my left, folks. Geographically speaking, not politically. Okay. Some want, quote, climate change skeptics, unquote, prosecuted. The science on global warming is settled. So settled that 20 climate scientists are asking President Barack Obama to prosecute people who disagree with them on the science behind man-made global warming. Scientists from several universities and research centers even asked Obama to use the Racketeer Influenced and Corrupt Organizations Act, otherwise known as RICO, to prosecute groups that have, quote, knowingly deceived the American people about the risks of climate change as a means to forestall America's response to climate change, unquote. RICO was a law designed to take down organized crime syndicates, but scientists now want it to be used against scientists, activists, and organizations that would voice their disagreement with the so-called consensus on global warming.
All right. Obviously, intelligent they are not in regards to law. Have they consulted any lawyers about the practicality of this? Just forget the fact that the idea is just generally stupid.
Well,
do they even realize what it takes to actually get a RICO?
The legal theory here, though, is that they were able to make this work with the tobacco industry. And the theory is that if they pursue this long enough and hard enough, they can do the same thing with people who aren't buying into the so-called consensus. Anyway.
And I'm just like, generally, though, you have to prove criminal behavior. What law are anti-climate people, climate change people, breaking?
Well, I'm not sure that's the point so much as, you know, once again going back to the tobacco.
Well,
industry.
I think it's obviously misapplied to the tobacco industry as well. But
well, my point simply is that the idea is that these people know the climate skeptics. From their point of view is that the climate skeptics know, and they're misleading the public because they're tied to the oil industry or what have you. That's the idea.
Even if they did, still, what law are they breaking? They're not. This is Caffeinate Thoughts Radio. Something to ponder. We'll be back.
You've prayed, but it didn't do much good. You still have the same problems, and God is not helping. Maybe you're not praying, but simply worrying to God. I'm Scott Owen with Crosswalk Ministries of Central Iowa, and it's time to pause for peace. God says for us to cast our anxieties upon Him, but too often we cast them like we are impatiently fishing. We toss them out for Him, but then we reel them back in to see why we hadn't caught anything. Better imagery is to cast them out as if we were feeding bread to ducks on a pond. The bread is out of our control once it hits the water, and there's no getting it back. God wants to offer you peace by taking your anxiety. Your best option is to learn to stop worrying to God and start trusting Him. To learn how to trade anxiety for peace, call Crosswalk Ministries at 515-635-5465 or online at crosswalkcounseling.org.
Hey Des Moines, have you heard? Everything you need for personal protection and self-defense is now here. Whether it's the next piece of gear, training, or a day at the range, it's all available at Iowa's premier indoor shooting range, Crossroads Shooting Sports. The indoor climate control range features 17 lanes up to 25 yards in distance. The pro shop has gear for men and women and training classes for basic and advanced skill levels. For self-defense and personal protection for your home and family, go to crossroadsshooting.com. That's crossroadsshooting.com. Crossroadsshooting.com. Welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. In this last segment, we first of all just want to highlight we got an event coming up.
We do, yes.
The Caffeinated Thoughts briefing. Mark your calendar. Halloween, October 31st. We will not have a costume party as much as I would love to have a costume party. But it's going to be at the Ramada Inn and Conference Center in Des Moines. We have Bobby Jindal is going to be speaking. Mike Ferris of Homeschool Legal Defense Association is going to be speaking. Sam Clovis will be there. Dr. Lee Heeb. All these folks have been a guest other than Michael Ferris. I don't think he's been on our show, but he was at the last briefing.
He was.
So we're looking forward to it. We'll be adding speakers, including yours truly, and then Brian will be speaking too. I know that's going to be a huge draw, Brian and I.
I want to go see Brian, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So go to ctbriefing2015.com. Again, it's ctbriefing2015.com, or just go to caffeinatethoughts.com and you'll see the briefing link at the top of the page.
Starts at 9:30 a.m. and it'll go all day, and there will be a lunch provided.
Okay.
Right. And now we've come to my favorite part of the show. We're about to share a story that's truly unbelievable. Yet. You know. It must be true, because
you can't make this stuff up.
All right, this story is out of Columbus, Ohio. This is from the UPI. September 17th. Police in Ohio's capital said thieves broke into a Verizon store, but the only items they managed to steal were fake phones used as display pieces. Columbus police said the early Wednesday burglary at the store caused significant damage to the store, but the only items stolen were fake phones installed for the display. Police said the culprits used large rocks to break the glass back door of the shop, and they cut out or ripped the phony cell phones from the display areas. Investigators said the store's real phones are locked in a vault by employees every night.
Wow, I had no idea I think that this story already experienced theft, so maybe they weren't doing that before. So the fake phones are new, but still, you can't tell the difference.
Can you see these guys after they're out in their car? You know, hey, look at this cool smartphone I got. They're trying to get this thing to fire up.
Yeah, well, another problem, boy. Unless you have SIM cards, it's pretty much a brick. Yeah. So unless it just has Wi-Fi capability, you might as well just get an iPod.
Well, this is what always really makes me joyful, is when I read about these sorts of, shall we say, endeavors by thieves that show that they're not always the sharpest pencils in the box.
No. Yeah. It's good that, for most criminals out there, they're not criminal masterminds. So that's right. Is comforting.
All right, send your You Can't Make This Stuff Up ideas to story@caffeinatedthoughts.com. That's story@caffeinatedthoughts.com. We will give you the credit or the blame if we use your suggestion on the show.
Thanks, everybody. This is, wow, we're done early.
Yeah, how'd that happen?
I don't know. You need to pick a longer story.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to. I figured you'd, you know, bloviate a little longer about the conference. But
Bloviating is something that really is especially, but I'm just not on my A game today. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. With that inglorious ending, we'll see you next week.
Take care, everybody.
Des Moines, have you heard? Everything you need for personal protection and self-defense is now here. Crossroads Shooting Sports. Whether it's the next piece of gear, training, or a day at the range, it's all available at Iowa's premier indoor shooting range. The indoor climate control range features 17 lanes up to 25 yards in distance. The Pro Shop has gear for men and women and training classes for basic and advanced skill levels. Go to crossroadsshooting.com for self-defense and personal protection for your home and family. That's crossroadsshooting.com.